Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's message is based on our gospel lesson from Luke. In the movie Castaway, Tom Hanks plays a leading character who has a seemingly great life. His job has him travel the world as a problem solver for FedEx. He has a girlfriend, and he's moving up the ladder in his job. Hanks relies on his intellect and his abilities, and FedEx relies upon Hanks. He's summoned to Malaysia. He's so important. He's summoned to Malaysia on Christmas Day to solve a problem. He gets over there, solves a problem, and now he's on the way back. Everything's fine and going great in Hanks' life in this movie until a storm came up. And we all know that we have storms in our life. The pilots that he relied on for safe transport failed in the storm, and the plane crashed into the Pacific Ocean. Hanks is the only survivor washing up on a beach of a deserted island. On the island, he has to rely upon himself and whatever's provided by washing up from the wreckage, the FedEx boxes. He's alone. He's so desperate for someone to talk to that one of the boxes he opens is a Wilson volleyball. So he takes his handprint, puts it on the volleyball, puts the volleyball on a stake, and he talks to Wilson, his man-made God. He has conversations with Wilson, his man-made God, that he should have had with God the Father. Notice Hanks did not rely upon God. In the movie, everything Hanks relies upon has been removed from his worldly possessions, and he's on this desert island. His world has changed, but God is the same. And God's still available to those who seek him, even though stranded on a desert island in our life. Through a stroke of luck, Hanks is saved by a super tanker only 4 years after being stranded on the island. He gets back to civilization only to find out that he had been declared dead. His company had filled his position with someone else, and his girlfriend, fiance, had moved on and married another gentleman and had a child with him. Everything he had was now gone. He trusted in himself. He had made his own God in Wilson, but he has nothing. Even though God graciously provides the ability to come to him in prayer, even from a deserted island, Hanks chose to talk to a volleyball. Like Hanks, we sometimes rely on our Wilson of ourself, people, or things instead of relying on God. We talk to others about what's going on in our lives, but we don't take that to God. Hanks talked to Wilson. We may even take things to our Wilson of social media and fail to take them to God in prayer. Take a brief second and think, do you have a Wilson in your life that you turn to instead of God? Moving on to the text, if you remember in last week's gospel lesson, Mary and Martha were entertaining Jesus and the disciples. Martha complained that Mary was not helping and she was just sitting at the feet of Jesus. Jesus said that Mary had selected the good portion and what Mary had asked for would not be taken from her. What Mary was doing was spending time with Jesus. How do we spend time with Jesus? We do this by attending service or watching it on Facebook. We attend Sunday school. We attend Bible study. And we pray. In our text today, this focuses on prayer, with Luke providing an abbreviated version of the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew, it's a fuller version that we will say later on. The scholars say in Matthew, it was one of the 12 apostles who had asked, "Show us how to pray." And in Luke, some scholars say it was one of the 70. Which is why there's two different versions of it. Other scholars say that Luke was looking at the wide sense of prayer, while Matthew was looking at the narrow sense of prayer. And that's why the two different versions somewhat exist. They're not different. They're just one shorter than the other. And if you recall in the text, it also asks, which father, if the son asked for a fish, would instead give him a serpent? Or if he asked for an egg, would give him a scorpion? If we look at these items, not only is a fish something helpful and nutritious, but if you remember, the Greek word for fish is ichthys, and it has five letters, and it stands for Jesus, Son of God, Jesus, Son of God, or Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. While the serpent makes us think back to the Garden of Eden, recall also that God foreshadowed the coming of Christ right after or during that in Eden when he said that Eve's offspring would crush the head of the serpent. The serpent indicates bad, something, temptation. As we look at the use of the fish also makes me think of the parable of Jesus, or not the parable, but the story of Jesus where he fed with the loaves of bread and the fish. And there was so much left over. It was enough to satisfy everybody. And there was so much left over that they picked up all these extra baskets of food. When an egg, on the other hand, it's good, it's clean, and an egg holds a hope for future life. And that's contrasted by Luke with the scorpion. A scorpion is listed in Leviticus as being unclean. Elsewhere, it's used as a symbol of terror or torment or punishment. In this, Luke is contrasting the good gifts that our humanly fathers can give us with the gifts that God the Father gives us. We can think of a fish and bread as being good to sustain our life, but when Jesus gave the gift of bread and fish, it was enough to satisfy all, and there was much left over. In the text, we see the gift from God is the Holy Spirit. And just like the fish and the bread, when God gives the Holy Spirit, there's enough left over. There's enough to satisfy all and still much left over. Who does God give his best gifts to? He gives it to his children. Trust God, he answers our prayers to provide the Holy Spirit. Also in the gospel today, later we're told about the persistent request by a friend that will be answered. We're told that God gives a gift of the Holy Spirit to those who ask. But in the text, it talked about a friend waking another in the middle of the night, at midnight, asking for food. The person who was awakened didn't want to fulfill it, but because of the friendship, because of the hour of the night, and to get him to shut up, he went ahead and gave him the loaves to feed the company. Now, we contrast that of the person who is awakened at night with God. Unlike the person in the story, God calls those who have been baptized and believe in him. Those who come to him in prayer, he doesn't call them friends, he calls them family. And not just family, but he calls them children. And just like you would help your child in the middle of the night or any hour, God is there for us any hour of the day. Unlike the person in the story, God encourages us to come to him any time of the day, any time of the night. We're not bothering him. He looks forward to us hearing about our needs, our concerns, our cares. The story from Luke encourages us to come to our prayers, or come to God with our prayers, asking, seeking, and knocking. The words ask, seek, and knock in the Greek text are used in the present imperfect tense. I was stumped when I heard it a year ago because I was going way back to elementary school and I'm like, I don't remember that at all. So let me explain it to you. The present imperative or present and perfect tense means that it's an action that not only occurs, but it continues to occur. Like our forgiveness of sins. Not only did Christ die for the forgiveness of our sins, but we're continually forgiven. For those that he calls his children, it is continual. And God doesn't want us to wait until the storms of our life to come to him in prayer, but to have a habit of coming to him in prayer. Pray without ceasing is what Paul calls it. Our community, our family of believers are encouraged by God the Son to ask, seek, and knock, not just in the storms of our life, but always. God even knew that there was going to be times where we were so hard-pressed, where life really bore down on us so much that we wanted to come to him in prayer, and we couldn't even put words together. We didn't even know what to say to God. And he's promised that he would send the Holy Spirit to us. And he promised that the Holy Spirit would intercede with groans too deep for understanding when we can't even think of what to say. The third person of the Godhead groaning in prayer for each and every one of us who believe when we're unable to even come up with the words. Now that is amazing and awesome. That's a God who loves us. Like some of you, I've had times in my life where I've failed to go to the Lord in prayer. Times when I relied upon myself or turned to my own Wilsons of my making. Times when life became busy, and times where I just fell out of the habit of praying. It's easy to do, and it's easy to rely upon our Wilsons or what we have created instead of relying upon the Creator. And this is exactly what the devil, the world, and the flesh would want us to do, not rely upon God, but rely upon creation, something we make up. When we rely upon our Wilsons instead of God, we make ourselves God. Fortunately, God, through the great gift of the Holy Spirit, works in and through each of us to call us back to God. When you fall out of the habit of prayer, Bible study, attending church, Sunday school, you may not even realize what you're missing until the Holy Spirit comes and works the will of God in and through you, calling you back into our community. Develop a habit of prayer. Trust God who answers prayer to provide. If you've fallen out of a habit of prayer, return to him. If you have friends or family that have distanced themselves from God, pray for them, asking God to have the Holy Spirit work faith in and through them in his time. Ask, seek, and knock in the present imperative, which means continually. Be like the persistent widow that we'll hear about in October in Luke 18, where she just continues to come. When people rely on their Wilsons, they can seemingly get along well until a storm of life comes along and they crash and they lose everything. Those who don't trust God have a terrible storm coming for them at the end of their life. And their God, Wilson, cannot save them. Contrast that with the children of God who trust God, who believe in God, who Jesus Christ died to pay our debt, who did save us from eternal damnation and has given us life with God. Don't be like Hanks relying upon your Wilson instead of going to God in prayer. God loves his children so much that he gave us the sacrifice of Christ to pay for our sins. He gives us the Holy Spirit to work his will in and through us in his time. He not only gives us the ability to approach his throne of grace at any time, from anywhere, but the message today shows that he encourages us to ask, seek, and knock continually. We know that we can trust the promise and commands of God, and we can trust him enough to bring our cares to him in prayer. You are so loved by God. You are so loved by God. So as a child of God, of the King and Creator of all, bring your cares and concerns to our Father and pray for those who have fallen away. Pray that God would remove the Wilsons from our life and in others' lives. His promises are true, and we can trust that because of his gifts, we will be raised on the last day to be with him forever, where there are no more tears or sorrows. There's just the perfect love of God expressed in so many ways that we cannot even comprehend how great and magnificent that is. Now may the peace of the Lord preserve and protect you, ever drawing you closer to him in love. Amen.